Welcome to the Jolly Cellar Master. I'm your host Jochen Heusner, and today I'm talking to Bruno Trapan of Trapan Wines in Istria, Croatia. I spoke to Bruno at the Merano Wine Festival, so I'd like to apologize for the background noise on a lively day at the festival. Bruno produces a range of wines in Istria, and naturally, we talk about those while we did a bit of tasting as well. But there's also plenty of information on the wines of Croatia in general, viticulture and winemaking in Istria, the coastal region, and much more. Here we go.
It's the Merano Wine Festival, and I'm here with Bruno Trapan from Croatia, from Istria, of Trapan Wines and Foods. So, yeah. Derek, hi Bruno, how are you?
Yeah, fine. I'm very good. I'm very happy to be here and very happy to meet you. So, we are at Merano, and this is the place to be for, I think, every winemaker is a big honor to be here. So we hope we will gonna represent our winery at the best of what we can do. So we are a small winery located in Istria, in Croatia. So to start at the beginning, Croatia was probably is one of the old wine producing countries, but due to a lot of things during history, and the last one was communism, the wines were really bad up until the Croatian-Yugoslavian war. Since then, the boom of Croatian wine has started happening, and especially in Istria, where we are from, let's call it the Istrian wine boom. After the separation from Yugoslavia, you could do private things, and people started very soon to use their friendship with Italian and Slovenian winemakers to make much better wines than they were before the 90s. So before the 90s, we were a mess producing part of what the wine world, only very bad wines, but lots of quantities for the domestic market. So at this moment now, I think that the thing has changed. We are focusing on smaller wines, wine regions, smaller wineries, and very exclusive and high-end quality of wines.
I was going to say, what's the structure of Croatian, of the Croatian wine sector? Is it like a lot of small wineries? Do you have cooperatives that dominate the market? Or?
We have still some leftovers from the big ex-communist wineries, but now they're privately owned, and their quality raised dramatically in the last 20 years. So they are now a key player in the, let's say, bigger retail market of Croatia. They can produce cheaper wines of standard quality, sometimes even better, but most of the Croatian wineries are smaller, from let's say 5 to 15, 20 hectares is the reality of our wineries. There are some winemakers, of course, that have 30, 50, 70, 80 hectares, but I think most of the biggest privately owned is around 100 hectares. So those are the privately owned new wineries. There's been lots of investment from people with money in the wine business in the last 15, 20 years. So lots of things are happening, and I think now we can really say that our wines are, they can be showed in every part of the world. There's not a problem of showing them in Italy or in America or in England or wherever. So it's just the niche where somebody finds themselves.
And you mentioned the wines. So Istria is on the northwestern part of Croatia,
yes,
on the Mediterranean Sea.
Yes.
So the climate is
The climate is depending. So we have four growing parts of winemaking, growing parts of Croatia. So Istria is the northern, the southern is Dalmatia, the one on the inland is Slavonia, and there is a region around Zagreb when they produce fantastic sparkling wines. So and also some weird wines from Amphora that are at top of the quality. But let's say Istria, where we are, is the same parallel as Tuscany, as Piemonte, as all of these regions, as Bordeaux. And we have different climates from the northern part to the southern part. We are the southest winery of Istria, so our terroir is very extreme, very hot. That's why we grow a fantastic Syrah, like a Côte d'Iron style Syrah. And we can also produce some outstanding white wines. But our focus is now in the last 3-4 years we switched to biodynamic production. This is something that's new to Croatia, and it's something that not much people can do. We are blessed to be where we are. We can we can say that we are the southest winery, and we have no vineyards around us, because when we started, my wife and I wanted to prove a point that our part of Istria could be a very interesting part for winemaking that was never known in history for many historical reasons, because most one of the biggest one is that all people knew how to make most of the land. So winemaking was not part of south part of Istria, because there's bigger plots and fresh water close to the surface. So it was mostly of agriculture, potatoes, tomatoes, cabbage, stuff like that, that you can make 3 or 4 harvests a year, make more money from the one piece of land. But when I started university, I decided that I wanted to prove that we can make something better, and to put this part of Istria on the wine maps of the world. And now, almost 20 years after, I can say that we did a good thing. we proved that we have, if not better, at least the same the same quality of the soil, but more extreme one, with lots of rocks, lots of minerals, closeness to the sea from both sides, because we are on the point of Istria. Istria is a peninsula, and we have the benefits of both sides. So we are doing something quite nice. We can say, I think it's easy to say that we are doing something good if I can tell you that we sell the wines from Japan to United States to Norway, and then all of the let's say local markets that are touristically very, very close to us, so Germany and Austria. Unfortunately, Italy is always a little bit difficult because they have so much good wine, but we'll see. We'll try to work on that.
But you mentioned biodynamic wine growing that you're doing. In general, biodynamic is an organic wine growing in Croatia. Is that still very rare, or is it like a trend that you see?
There is the organic is starting. Was starting. We were organic since 2009, practically since we started. But in the later years, up to 2014, we were using all of the available enology things. But then something switched, and we decided no, we are doing everything organic without any only wild yeast and stuff like that. But this is still a new thing to Croatia. There is only a few producers that can do that, and that you can believe that they are doing it. It's something that is a start. The trend is now a little bit like everywhere in those parts of the world. Now the orange wines, but it's still a small niche. We are trying to show people that it can be done, but I can stand by my words when I say that it's very difficult to do biodynamic when you have 4 neighbors around you doing conventional. Then your vineyard is in a bit of a problem. So then biodynamics washes down the drain. So you have to choose where to do it. So I guess it's the same in all parts of the world. You know, if you want to be biodynamic, you have to have your neighbor at least be organic. So that's something that's, I think, that's happening. But it's if you go to any of the natural wine fairs and stuff like that, you see that this is a group of people that are from some regions that are trying to push this. It's not going to be a very common thing that everybody is going to be organic or biodynamic, but I hope that we are, because I can tell from experience that giving back to Mother Nature what we take from her is the best, is when something that makes you very happy, and then Mother Nature is even better to you, because now we have the wines are really incredible. You know, I remember from the first time we started, we had the best aged Malvasia in the world in 2010, and nonetheless, now you can taste the same label. Now you see it's more about the wines and the grapes than just being you know, just polished and everything. Sorry.
Great stuff. And you already mentioned that you're doing Syrah, so I suppose in Croatia you get all the international varieties. But tell us a little bit about the autochthonous varieties in Croatia.
So again, Croatia has 3 big varieties that are very 3 big varieties that are used. Istria has Malvasia, which is number 1. Then Dalmatia has Plavac, Mali, and Slavonia uses Welsh Riesling as their own. It's the most spread out variety, Grasse Vina, in Slavonia. But in Istria we have another red variety, which is Teran, which is the indigenous. Then you have lots of small, I think there's over 100 or something native varieties that only grow in small parts of Croatia and Istria, but these are the big hitters: Plavac, Mali, Teran, and Malvasia. And then the Welsh Riesling is the most important Slavonian grape variety. But yes, we also have the opportunity to use almost all of the international wine varieties. We in the winery have Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, plus this special Syrah that we are making. So yeah, that's. That's kind of, Croatia is still a well-developed country in the wine culture. So the wineries are still, I think, searching for their own place in the sun and their own style and everything. So for now, I think we are doing what we did in 20-odd years, almost 30. It's been a big expansion of the quality, and the market is coming next to it. Because thank God we have a great tourism that helps sell all of these wines. But our goal from our winery was mostly to try and find our focus, our place outside of Croatia, and see if we can play with the big boys worldwide. So I think we are good at this. After COVID, now it's starting again.
Well, maybe we should try. Let's try wine, shall
okay.
we?
Okay. Yes. So now we have in the glass Malvasia 2019. This label that we are tasting, the Ouroboros, is one of our most famous labels. It was the best aged Malvasia in the world. Actually, the guy who was sitting in the chairman of the board of the championship of Malvasias was here 3 minutes ago, and he remembered that the winery was not being built at that time, and he was there when we won the championship of the Malvasia. So this is a special wine for us. It's 6 days of maceration, and after that we just press the grapes gently and put everything to ferment in acacia barrels. So we use old barrels from acacia, mostly French, a little bit Italian, a little bit Austrian, at least 5 years old, up to 12 years. After 1 year of acacia, it goes out with all of the yeast from fermentation still in, and goes for a Surlin stainless steel for at least 1.5 more years. So this wine is bottled right now, maybe 6 months ago, and it's something that shows the what we can do with Malvasia with a little bit of maceration. Now we have the second wine, which is also Malvasia, but this is 2018, just bottled 3 weeks ago, so it's still a baby. This is East traditional, so the tradition of Istria with modern approach to winemaking. So this is 1 month of maceration. 1 month of maceration, fermentation temperature goes through the roof, whatever it wants to do, does the malolactic on the skins, and after that we press the wines, then we put the finished wine in, again, used barrels of acacia for 1 year, but then at least 3 more years in the winery on Surlin stainless steel. So that's why it was bottled in October of 2022. So this is our story about natural winemaking and natural wines. And this is, I don't like that much the name orange wine. That is not my favorite thing, because orange for me means oxidation. That's not perfect. I think when you try this wine, you see it's yellow or amber. So it's the color of wine, and even though it's 1 month of maceration, it's still, there is no oxidation present whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now we have two red wines. This is the next Istrian grape after Malvasia, is the Teran. Interestingly, historically looking at Istria as a winemaking part of the world, in the 1800s, because we were making a big research on Teran grapes because of the dispute with Slovenia, because they protected the name of Teran when entering EU, and from the way of how was made the wine made from Refosco grapes. At the end, we won the war, so not a problem. But in the 1800s, Istria had like 50,000 hectares of vineyard, almost 50,000, and 80% was Terran. Now we have only 8,000 hectares, and maybe 10% is Terran. So Istria changed after the Phylloxera and the First and Second World War, and then with communism, Istria changed because it suited the Communist Party that we were more white wines, and the Terran was actually considered to be a very bad grape before, but in the last 20 years the evolution of Terran came with big steps forward. We learned that you can make it fantastic, similar to a Barolo, but you have to work the vineyards. You have to do very low yields, and it's very difficult. It's also like a Barolo, like a Nebbiolo, big berries, but only a thin skin. But the main difference is it has lots of color in the juice. So the juice is perfectly red, and it's very wild. So with Terran, perfect malolactic, and then we can talk about special wines. So about something a little bit more different. So this is what we're having now, is a Terra Mare Terran 2018, and with this wine also we had the best one on the regional championship. So if it's the best of Italy, Slovenia, and Istria, is the best in the world. So we also won with this. So this is the Terra Mare.
How is that vinified?
This is two and a half weeks of maceration, and after that 2 years of used French oak barrels. So our vinification is a little bit different with the reds than other people, because we try to do at least 1 week of cold soaking. So under argon gas, no oxidation, but just as much as we can keep it cold so it doesn't ferment, we keep it to soak and to get all of the primary aromas and everything, the precursors from the grapes and from our terroir. So when it starts fermenting by itself, it's already been almost a week of time passed. So when it finishes the first fermentation and the malolactic on the skins passes at least 2.5-3 weeks. So this is, before we were trying to do something a little bit different, but now we changed it to doing the malolactic also with the skins. It gets to be a little bit maybe more wild, but it shows a little bit more of the character of our extreme terroir. So that's why.
So it sounds a little bit more authentic.
We are trying. I hope you find it as we do, that these are authentic wines. So.
Oh, very interesting. I like it a lot.
And now you have something actually really special. Normally this wine is only available to taste in the winery. It's a 2017 Syrah. We were the pioneers with Syrah in Croatia. We planted the first Syrah in 2005, and we've been making it from 2007. In one moment in time, we decided to make a blend out of it with Terran and Syrah only, and using it for other blends, not making the pure Syrah. But then in 2017, it was the 10th anniversary of the first Syrah wine we made, and it was a special year for me and my wife. So we decided to make a special one with only 2,500 bottles from that year, from 1 hectare. Only 2,500 bottles. And when we got the grapes, we decided that we don't use any machines. So this stemmed by hand with buckets, load the macerator, and then just the flour of the wine taken after 4 weeks, 3.5-4 weeks of maceration, just directly open the valve and directly in the barrel, so no pressing at all. And after 3 years, it goes in the bottle directly from barrique barrels again. So no stainless steel, no machines, and it's called Moja, because in Croatian Moja means wine, and it's made for my wife. So this is a very unique wine. As you can see, there is no label, only like this, and every label is different. So we don't sell it yet, but people come to the winery because of this wine, so we have to sell some bottles. But I would like to keep this for a longer period, because for me this is a very, 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 very big. This goes to tell about the story about me being stubborn and trying from the days I did have no knowledge about winemaking, but some intuition that I could make some great wines in the part of Istria where we are, and that we can make a special Syrah, and this can be similar to the French style. So this is definitely Cornas, Hermitage, Côte d'Iron style of of wine. I hope, at least that...
I was going to say, it's like, I think you mentioned at the beginning already, this is like, it's more of Northern Rhone style. It's very elegant, it's very
spicy. Yeah, very elegant, spicy. And this is, you know, this is now in bottle. This is in bottle now, almost two years. So, and still, I think it's still not to the point where we would like it to be. And I think the development of these wines right now, it's very slow but very steady. We use the best DM corks available to us because with our wines they are not cheap, they are not expensive like the French wine, but they have a higher price. So for me the biggest problem is when somebody ruins it with a cork bottle. And it's not even a problem when the wine is corked. The problem is when the cork releases something and it's nobody understands it's corked, and they drink the bottle and say, oh, this wine from Trapani is not worth it. So that's why 7 years ago we decided to go with DM. We were at some point, then COVID came, we were very close to being their ambassadors for Croatia, and we really believe in this cork because it's natural, it's but with modern modern approach to natural cork. So they use propolis to glue back the grinded cork. There is 0% chance of being corked. If you find a corked bottle with DM wine, the producer gets to get the producer of the cork buys the whole series of that wine. So there is a big reassurance in this cork, even though some sommeliers maybe don't like it because they say it's not monocork, monopiece. But for me, this doesn't even start to describe the sensation that I can open every bottle without even trying to see if it's different or if it's bad. So that's something very reassuring for me and for my customers at the end. So,
and you already mentioned customers, because I think what we haven't talked about is like,
yes,
I appreciate it's very difficult to get these wines in Italy, but
yes,
where are your main markets?
Our main market is we do a lot, especially since COVID. Unfortunately, we do a lot of wines. We sell a lot of wine through our touristic part of the year, which this year still hasn't stopped. So we still get a lot of people coming every day. So we sell now up to 50% at home. But we cover a big part of the world with small quantities. So we try to sell a pallet here, a pallet there. So from Japan to Taiwan, to United States was a big, big market before COVID. Then unfortunately our importer didn't suffer a lot because they were too big to survive this problem. So now we have a small new importer that's starting up, but we also sell wines to Norway, to Austria, to Germany, and as I said, we have a lot of our guests that take the wines with them home, because Istria is a car destination for almost all of the Europe, so that's quite good for us. And we are on the southeast part of Istria, there's nobody around us, and people still come to us because of the wines I think the longest drive we had from a visitor, they came from Zadar, which is 350 kilometers. They went just for the wine tastings because, okay, they were Americans, so for them 200 miles is like a short drive, but for us it's a big thing when somebody drives from across country just for a wine tasting and to buy some bottles to bring home.
Yesterday
we had some customers that came from the capital, from Zagreb, drove to the winery, tasted the wines, all eight of them, and then sit back in the car and went back. So that's something that's very nice, and I think we are again being very, very proud to be the only representative of, maybe a little bit sad that there's no more, but at the end very proud to be the only ones to be chosen to be here, because
it's always great to get that kind of recognition.
Yes, this is very good. Yes, yeah, yeah.
No, it was an absolute pleasure tasting your wines, yes, and talking to you.
The pleasure was all mine. Thank you.
Cheers.
And that's all for today. I hope you enjoyed this episode with Bruno Trapan, and as always, you can find more information in the show notes at jollycellarmaster.com. Thanks for listening.